Well, if you're thankful for the blood, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles this morning. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. When he mentioned the preacher singing, and I'm still learning a little bit about your preacher. Sometimes I don't know when he's serious and when he's joking. And then Brother Cruz got up and sang, and then Brother Montgomery got up and sang. I said, man, the preacher ain't joking. He really wants me to sing. And so as you're turning there, I'm going to sing this song. Most of you know it. And I'm going to just try to make a joyful noise unto the Lord and sing unto Him. But I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. Once I wandered in sin's black night. There was no way that I could make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry. He is a sinner and now he must die. Then I heard a voice saying, Father, I'll go and I'll pay the sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men they count on the times they've prayed through. But when the battle's over and the victory's been won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Amen. I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. Well, I know that you've eaten food. We've heard, man, haven't we heard some wonderful messages? Amen. And the Lord really helped me with the battle of my mind. I want to be a mighty man, preacher. And I appreciate Brother Doug Burris being with me this morning. And as preacher was preaching this morning about being a mighty man, I was thinking that Brother Doug is one of those mighty men that I have in my church. And greatly appreciate him. I'll never forget that I've only been at my church. It'll be 3 years in November. He preached a message right before I came, and he preached the message entitled "This Honoring Pastor." And I don't know if he knows this or not, I listened to that message, and I just greatly appreciate him, and he's been a great asset to me, and he's been one of those mighty men that I can count on. I appreciate him. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, I'm going to be quick this morning. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I just want to point out a couple things, and I pray that it'll be a help to you as it's been a help to me. Verse number 1, the Bible, and I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles 26. Verse number 1, the Bible says this: Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah, and that the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, for the sake of time, I want you to jump down to verse number 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers, upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. And I want you to notice the next phrase, please: till he was strong. Verse number 16 says, But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Lord, we love you today. And Lord, what an honor. God, what a privilege it is, Lord, to be standing where I'm standing, Lord, to preach out of this precious book. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for Brother Paulie, Lord, in this church, Faith Baptist Church. And Lord, I'm thankful for his ministry, God, his faithfulness. Lord, what an impact he's had on this community. Lord, I ask, God, that you bless him and his church. Lord, would you bless the men that are here today? Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the wonderful preaching that we've heard. And Lord, I ask, God, that you just get me out of the way. Lord, I have nothing new to offer. Lord, I'm not here to try to amaze people or woe a crowd. But Lord, all I'm doing is just explaining what you've already said in your word. And so Lord, I ask, God, that you would do what only you can do. And Lord, that no man would get any praise or any honor, but that the name of Jesus will be lifted up and magnified. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Nation of Israel, if you know your Bible, has been divided into two kingdoms. Jeroboam the second rules the 10 northern tribes, and Uzziah will rule the 2 lower tribes. Commonly, you'll hear that term called Judah. And this morning, as we look at the life of Uzziah, I want to draw your attention really to the last part of this chapter in this moment. We're going to attend the funeral, if you will, of Uzziah. The nation's been gathered together. If you're reminded, the prophet Isaiah in 6, he's recounting when the king Uzziah died, what a horrible time it was in the nation's history. And they're gathered together as they bury this wonderful king. And it's important for us to know, if you know your Bible, that Uzziah did a lot of wonderful things. He did a lot of great things. We read it at the beginning of the chapter. He did a lot of good things in the sight of the Lord. And as we study Scripture, we have a summary of his whole life. But unfortunately, those who he led and those who buried him have something different to say. People, when you think of a funeral, and pastors, y'all know what I'm talking about, a lot of times at funerals, we like to say good things about the person that's being buried. We try to bring up good things about their life and try to comfort the family the best we can. But when we look at the funeral here, we really don't find that. And I want you to draw your attention to verse number 23, if you will. The Bible says this, So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. And I want you to notice the next part of the passage. For they said, he is a leper. Being a leper reflected the disobedience of the life of Uzziah. And can I say this morning, that in the eyes of people, your mistakes will outweigh your successes. Now, I know we don't want it that way, and it really shouldn't be that way. We ought to always think of the good that people have done. But if God, I just know this, that when people examine the life of a Christian and the life of a pastor and those who serve in ministry, they're always going to remember where you failed more than where you succeeded. And so despite all the good things that Uzziah did, they said, well, he was a leper. What a sad funeral. What a sad statement to be said about this king. Thomas Paine said this, that old Puritan, he said, character is much easier kept than recovered. Despite all the good that Uzziah did, he ruined his reputation. Now we know, and I'm just echoing here, that he did a lot of good things. But you need to understand, in the eyes of the people, he ruined his reputation. Yes, sir. Reputation has been defined as this: the general opinion or judgment of the public about a person or a thing. Now, please understand me. What God thinks of us and what God knows of us always is preeminent versus what man thinks of us. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. But you need to understand, it is important how you are viewed in the eyes of the public. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I can say this, that if Pastor Paulie was looked down upon in the community, if they didn't think much of him, or if they looked down upon him and thought that he had a low character, he wouldn't be able to impact his community. That's why one of the qualifications of a bishop is to be blameless. That people, when they think about their pastor, say, well, no, that I know what you're saying, but that's not my pastor. My pastor wouldn't do something like that. You've got it wrong.
Right.
So it is important of our character how we're viewed among men.
Yes.
Can I say if there's anything we need today, we need some men of character.
Right.
And by the way, of introduction, let me just give you, I'm going to preach on this thought. I'm going to give you three things, but I want to preach on this thought: how to ruin my reputation. How to ruin my reputation. Can I say this, that a ruined reputation comes more easily to those who have started well in life.
Yes.
You may be here this morning and say, preacher, I grew up in a Christian home. Praise the Lord. I had a godly father, a godly mother. I was brought up in church. Can I say this? That your reputation, if you fall, will be more detriment to those who did not get a good start. Here's why. The world's going to say something like this: well, they grew up in church. Their daddy was a preacher. They went to church all their life. They went to a Christian school, or they was homeschooled. And look what happened to them. So why do I need what they had? Those who start out right, when you fall, it's going to cause more detriment. Now, can I just say this on when I say that? If you haven't had a good starting, you can start now. If you say, preacher, I really didn't have a godly daddy. I didn't have a godly mom. I wasn't brought up in church. Praise the Lord. You can break the chain of your family history and you can start today. Let today be the starting point of having a good heritage. But people in their mind hold you to a higher standard. When you fall, it can leave more of a devastating impact. I think you hear about preachers in the newspaper and great men of God, when they fall, how much of a detriment it is to their testimony. A godly heritage, brought up around the things of God, a good education. But when they fall, the world will say, well, look how they turned out. Preacher, you said, should I not have a good start? No, you should. But here's what we need to know. We need to steward it. We need to guard it. If you've been brought up, listen, the Bible says, for much is given, much is required. You need to protect your godly heritage, because there's nothing more that the devil would love to do is to make an example out of you and to make an example out of me. Uzziah had a great start. If you look with me, I'm just going to roll through this really quick. I'm not going to read all this text, but Uzziah had a wonderful start. Look with me. He had a godly heritage. Verse number 4, the Bible says this: and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. I believe we could arrive at the conclusion today that he had a good family. He had a good daddy. He got brought up around the things of God. He had a good godly heritage. He had a great preacher. Look with me, verse number 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He had a godly heritage, had a godly preacher.
Right.
Look with me again, verse number 6. He had a gift in war tactics. You read in verse number 6, the Bible says he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And the Bible says that, verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines. He had a gift in war tactics. You look at verse number 8, he had favor over his enemy. The Bible says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Verse number 8 also tells he had fame all over the known world. The Bible tells, verse number 8, and his fame or his name spread about abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. He had a gift in construction. Verse number 9, the Bible says that Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. Verse number 10 tells us that he had plenty of wealth. The Bible says that he had much cattle, both in low country and in the plains. He was a successful leader, verse number 11. He advanced great weapons, verse number 15. It was clear this morning that Uzziah had a great start in life. But here at his funeral, he's not known for any of those things. I don't say anything about, oh, he was a great king. He did all these wonderful things for our nation. He sought God. I don't see any of that. But the Bible says, and they said he was a leper. Can I ask you a question this morning? What will people say about you at your funeral? What will the preachers say about you when the Lord calls you home? Three ways to ruin my reputation. Number one, be uncoupled from God. Uncoupled from God. My son loves trains. He's 9 years old and he loves trains in Salisbury and Spencer. There's the transportation museum. Sometimes we'll take him there. He loves to look at the trains, and he in fact has taught me a lot about trains. And if you know anything about trains, you'll know this, that there are railway cars and then there are engines. And here's what I know is that those railway cars cannot do anything, go anywhere, unless they are coupled to the engine. Now I want you to notice verse number 15. The Bible says this at the last part of that verse. For he was marvelously helped. You know what I believe that to be? God helped him. God gave him what he needed. But notice the transition in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destructions. Here's what I've learned, that we're real good at trying to be Christians without being coupled to God. We're real good at playing the part. We're real good at wearing what we need to wear, caring what we need to care. We know how to say it. We know how to sing it. We know how to preach it. We know how to look the part. We're real good at being Christians without being coupled to God. But the Bible says that Uzziah, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed. Was strong. Till Brother Allen was strong. I don't ever want my name to be put there. Can I say this morning? We often lean on our own understanding in life and we fail. We're really good at the big things. I think as Christians, we're really good at trusting God on the big things of life. The big decisions, the major life-altering decisions, man, we'll take time and we'll pray and we'll really seek the face of God. But can I ask you this morning? What about the small things? Is God not interested in helping us in the small things too? I need Him in the small things. Because if I get Him in the small things, a lot of times those big things, I don't even need to worry about. All things. Paul said it like this, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you trying to live the Christian life independent of God? You just come to the motions. It'd be a good thing for us to come to church tomorrow and say, Lord, we don't know what we're doing. We just need you. All is vain. All is vain. Unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Lord, we need you. Preacher, how do you know that someone could be living independent of God? Well, I'll tell you this. It's reflected by your prayer life.
Yes, it is.
It's reflected by your prayer life. Show me your prayer life and I'll show you if you're operating independently of God. Paul said it something like this. Pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean you need to be driving down the road with your eyes closed? No. You have a conversation with your eyes open. It is a continual conversation with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help me to say this. Lord, protect me here. Where should I go here? What should I do there? It's praying without ceasing. Are you coupled with Him constantly? Did you lose something? Ask God for help. Can't fix something? Ask God for help. Can't figure it out? Ask God for help. Preacher, are you being serious? I'm dead serious. I'm talking about total dependence upon God. Spurgeon said this, I care not how old a man may be, even if 7 centuries had passed over his head. If he began to trust in himself, he would be a fool, and soon he would have a grievous fall. You think about that engine and that rail car, the only place that that rail car can go is down if it's not coupled to the engine. You may not declare it, you may not even think about it, but your moment by moment, day by day actions will prove if you're coupled to God. If you get to the point where you don't need the Lord, you're one step closer to having ruined your reputation when your actions reflect an independence of God. Second step to ruin your reputation, number two, is unheeded rebuke. You become uncoupled from God. Well, you're just going through the motions and you don't really need the Lord. You're kind of good at it. You know, well, I used to be tempted here, but I've kind of overcome that temptation. I don't really need the Lord to overcome that anymore. You better be careful. You better be careful. But then number two is unheeded rebuke. Look with me in verse number 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord. Preacher, what is that? That's pride. Thinking that you don't need the Lord anymore. You got it all figured out. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Praise the Lord for some godly men. Amen. And they said unto him, it appertaineth not unto the Uzziah to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, to go out of the sanctuary. For thou hast trespassed. You realize that the king could have these guys killed if he wanted to? But they had enough God about them to say, you've trespassed, king.
Yep.
You shouldn't be here, king.
Right.
The Bible says that they were valiant men. These valiant men did not lay hands on God's anointed, but by reasoning with him and showing him that it is not lawful for him to burn incense, they said, it appertaineth not to thee, O Uzziah, but to the priest, whose birthright it is, as the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to the service. You know this, if you read your Bible, Aaron and his sons were the only ones appointed by the law to burn incense, Exodus 30 and Deuteronomy 33. But here's what I love about these good men of God. They don't tell the king their opinion.
Right.
They don't say, well, let me just tell you, king, what I think. You know what they do? They take him to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the Bible says. Can I just say this? You've got good friends in your life. If there's times that you need to be rebuked, and they don't give you what their opinion is, but they take you to what the Bible says.
Yes.
They say, well, let me just tell you, because it ain't about me, it's about what God says.
Amen.
Correction was by God's word, not by opinion. And here we have the men of God who biblically showed the king that he was wrong. And they did this, can I say this morning? They did this because they loved him. They did this because they cared about him. They weren't mad and angry with him. No, they did it because they knew that the wrath of God could fall at any time. And they loved their king. You read Isaiah, they loved this king. Well, here we have these biblical men. They were not people pleasers. They loved him, but they stood up for what's right. Can I tell you, we're living in a generation where we need some men that'll stand up for what's right. Listen to me, you need to stand up for what's right at your workplace. You need to stand up for what's right with your family. You need to stand up for what's right in our community. We don't have to compromise and be like our culture to make a difference. We need to stand up and rise up and be different and be holy, and then we can make a difference. Here's what I'm interested in. Unheeded rebuke, verse number 19. The Bible says, then Uzziah was wroth. That means angry. He was upset. Can I say this morning? We have two choices concerning godly rebuke. You can receive rebuke in one of two ways. The first way is this, is to receive rebuke wisely. A wise man will have an appreciation for those who speak the truth in love. You'll appreciate it. Proverbs 9:8 says, rebuke a wise man and he'll love thee. A wise man will receive the rebuke, they'll learn from it, and this in turn allows him to become wiser. Proverbs 9:9 says, give an instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Or you can receive rebuke foolishly. Proverbs 9:7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself to shame. And can I say this? Unfortunately, Uzziah took the rebuke foolishly and became mad. And he became angry. Can I say that so many people, if they would just listen to the instruction of godly people, would not be in the mess that they're in right now. If they, listen, you don't got to get in an office with your preacher. Some of the best counseling you'll go get is coming from this desk.
Amen.
And sometimes if we would just listen, you got some godly friends, well, what does the Bible say? Let's go. And you would just listen, you would not be in the mess that we're in.
Right.
But they don't take the rebuke that way. They don't take the instruction that way. I've found people, I've sat down with people in my office. We go to the Bible. I always have my Bible open. What's the Bible say? And they take it. They learn from it. They become wiser. Man, they're closer to the Lord than they ever have. But then I have people who've already made up their mind.
Yep.
Who just want that stamp of approval. And they do not take heed.
Right.
Now their life's in a mess.
Yes.
And what the way they're living is just hard. Can I say, don't be too prideful to take rebuke and instruction. Uzziah's story, I believe, would have ended differently if he would have listened to those godly men that day. If he just would have submitted to the priest's admonition, acknowledged his error, and had gone back, all would have been well. But when he was wroth with the priest and fell foul upon them, then God was wroth with him and smote him with a plague of leprosy. You can read 19 and 20. That leprosy rose up on his forehead. Look with me in verse 20, and the Bible says, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from them. That's how I know that these men loved him. They wanted to get him out here before God kills him right then and there, and they tried to get him out. Listen, if we do not fear the word of God, we are in danger of facing the hand of God. When we don't obey the word of God, we will face the hand of God. And your reputation can be spared if we would just listen to godly people that He's placed in our lives. Can I say, men, if you're in here and you're married and you've got a good, godly Christian wife, that is some of the best wisdom you can get. Preacher, how do you know that? She's your helpmate.
Yes, right.
God gave her to you for a reason, but sometimes, can we just be honest, men? We're so prideful.
Right.
We think we got it all figured out. Well, what do you, I've been doing this, what do you know? That is some of the best wisdom God gave her specifically to you. Sometimes God's channel of wisdom will come through your wife. Listen to her.
Yes.
What about teachers and pastors and parents? But unfortunately, Uzziah did not take heed to the godly rebuke. Therefore, God steps in supernaturally. Some of the best warning flags are when the people who are closest to God tell you that you're furthest from the truth. Problem is, we think we've got it figured out. We know what's best for our life. We're too proud to listen to anybody because our way is the best way. You don't care if it's your family. You don't care because you've got our mind made up. Uzziah, he became uncoupled from God. He was strong. I don't need the Lord no more. I've got it figured out. Listen, we're good at operating. We're good at doing church without the power of God. There's a form of godliness. There's a mold. We kind of got it figured out. We're going to have church regardless whether God shows up or not. He became uncoupled. There was unheeded rebuke. They tried to tell him. They tried to warn him. They tried to help him, but he didn't listen. He got mad. But then number three, if we're going to ruin our reputation, there's an unwillingness to repent. The Bible says in verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. A leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Verse 23, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. And my Bible tells me that he was a leper until the day of his death. Not one time in the remainder of his life did the Scriptures ever tell us that he repented and got right with the Lord? Not one time do I see that, well, he called upon God and he tried to make things right in his life. Not one time do I find that. But all the rest of his life, his reputation was ruined because there was an unwillingness to repent. He will always be known as a leper with a ruined reputation. Can I say this morning that people who know they're wrong but are unwilling to repent is probably the most dangerous place you can be. You know you're wrong, but you're not willing to get right with God. I believe because he refused the people of God, the word of God, the hand of God, God has no need for you upon this earth. Now, I'm not trying to scare you this morning, but if God sends people, he sends his word, he's chastised you, and you still don't have a willingness to repent, what good do you have the Lord upon this earth? In fact, you're more dangerous as a backslid Christian who lives like the world than a lost man himself. Because you proclaim one thing, but yet your actions show differently. His uncoupling from God, unheeded rebuke led to his sin, which caused him to be shut out of society, sealed up in confinement, and he surrendered his occupation. His son took his job. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his job. You want to ruin your reputation this morning? Get uncoupled from the Lord. Live a life independent from God. Just fake it. Feel like you don't need him. Just fake it. Unwillingness to repent. Unheeded rebuke. Can I encourage you this morning in closing? Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to God. Depend on Him for everything, and I mean everything. Listen to wise counsel. Can I, as we close this out, can I ask you, man, a question? What are you going to do with what you heard? What are you going to do with it? Is it going to go in one ear and out the other? Or the effectiveness in a message is not necessarily what happens in here, it's what happens when you leave. Are you going to take what we've heard and we're going to guard our mind and protect our mind? Are we going to strive to be a mighty man? Are we going to protect our integrity and our reputation? What are we going to do with it? Listen to wise counsel. Don't get mad, get angry. Take heed. God's put people in your life for a reason. Unwillingness to repent. Listen to me this morning. When you mess up, get right up. Get back up. I want to go to one more place in Scripture and then I'll be done. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs 24. You say, preacher, I'm here. There's things in my life that aren't right. Listen, can I just say this? Welcome to the club. Ain't nobody better than anybody here this morning. From the preacher on down. We've all messed up. We all make mistakes. But don't have an unwillingness to repent.
That's right.
Look with me in Proverbs 24. Look with me in verse number 16. The Bible says this. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know what I find in this passage? That both the wicked and the just fall. Both of them fall. But it is the just that gets back up. And not only does the just man, this is a righteous man, a good man, not only does he fall, but he falls multiple times. You're going to fall more than just once. You're going to mess up. Can I say that this gives me hope this morning? Listen, if you've ever failed, you've ever been knocked down, you know what the devil wants to do to you, man? The devil wants to say, stay down. Don't get back up. Just stay down. Listen, one of the biggest lies the devil ever tell you, well, you've already sinned. Just keep sinning. You've already blown it. What's another time? You may be knocked down, but can I say, don't let getting knocked down make you get knocked out. The devil wants to convince you you're down and you're out. Y'all ever remember the original Nintendo? I know I'm probably younger than most people in the room. We had this old, now I know we're independent Baptists, we're not supposed to play video games, but I had a Nintendo, amen? And we had this old boxing game. And I remember this boxing game, you'd get hit with his boxer and it would knock you down. And then there would be that referee. He'd stand over the person. If you got that, he'd start counting. One, two. He'd count all the way to 10. And if you hit that button really fast, you could get him back up. But if you looked in the horrible graphics of the Nintendo, if you looked in the background, you would see people doing this in the background. You know what they were doing? Get up! Get up! Can I say this, that when you get knocked down, you've got something inside of you called the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, don't stay down! Get up! Get up for the sake of your marriage! Get up for the sake of your children! Get up for the sake of your church! Get up for the sake of your community! Men, get up and don't stay down. Don't stay down. Paul said, I press towards the mark. I'm determined. I want to read this poem. It says this, when things go wrong, and sometimes they will, when the road you're trudging seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is dear with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about, when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside and out. The silver tent of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. And when things seem worse, that you must not quit. The title of my message this morning was How to Ruin Your Reputation. Can I ask you something, men? Many of you have children. You've got grandchildren. So, preacher, well, I don't have grandchildren or children. Listen, somewhere along the lines, you've influenced somebody. The Bible says, no man liveth or dieth to himself. What will they say at your funeral? Can I say this? I want my babies to walk by my casket. Say, my daddy loved the Lord. We may not have all the luxuries of life. We may not have everything, my friend. But if there's one thing I can say about my daddy loved God and he loved the Lord and he stuck out the fight. Yeah, there was times he got knocked down, but I had a daddy who got back up.
Amen.
Or what will they say? Will they say like Uzziah? Well, he started out well, but he was a leper. Lord, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your mercy and I'm thankful for your grace. God, we are nothing. Lord, without the grace of God. Lord, we stand in need of your help. Lord, I believe there's anything our country needs is some men of God who would stand up and rise up. Lord, I'm thankful. The pastor mentioned it. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, help us not to be defeated and discouraged and depressed, not knowing where to go, whom to turn to, but that we'd be men of God. Lord, that we'd stay coupled to you, connected to you. And God, that we would have a reputation when people look at the men of Faith Baptist Church and Lord, of the churches that are represented here, they say, man, there's some men of faith, some strong men, some mighty men of valor. But Lord, we can't do it without you. God, I can't do it without you. Lord, I can't pastor, I can't preach, I can't father, I can't be a good husband. Lord, unless I'm totally dependent upon you. And God, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me this morning. Lord, to be what you've called me to be. We love you in your name. We pray. Amen. Pastor, you come.
Let's stand together, please.